Good morning and welcome to the Friday, March 9th edition of Byers & Company, our final day from Cardinals spring training. We are broadcasting live from Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. This hour, Tom Ackerman will join us. We've got a lot to get to, including Mike Shannon. It all starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a rather chilly start to the day here in Jupiter, Florida. The daytime's turning out to be just fine, but the mornings feel a little more like central Illinois, Kevin Verhaeghe. It's in the 40s here.
These nowdecatur.com jackets really came in handy. I mean, thank you, by the way.
You're welcome. I made the decision not to pack mine because I thought I'm surely not going to need that down in Jupiter, Florida. And I had to bring Frank's down, which took up all the luggage space. So
it's always your fault, Frank, you know, but I'm glad we had ours.
No doubt. Well, listen, let's get right to it. Tom has a plane to catch. This is always sort of a juggling routine down here for you guys, right? So the crew kind of comes down in waves and phases, and you're moving all over.
Yeah.
How long have you been down here? Tom Ackerman from KMOX.
Thank you. I've been here since Sunday, and I'm leaving today to go up to the SEC tournament in St. Louis and call a few games up there, and then I'll come back here on Monday, which is an off day for the team. So I'll settle back in Monday night and then back at it Tuesday. We do the morning show down here just as you do, so I'm actually doing one. I recorded a couple of segments.
So you can get up here.
Little flexibility. No, it's absolutely. I mean, you guys do such a great job, and we really appreciate you coming down here as part of our affiliates. And we do the morning show here. We call games down here, so Chris Raby and I, Kyle McClellan, Mike Claiborne team up and do the games that the network doesn't carry over some of the affiliates. So Mike Shannon and John Rooney do those games along with Rick Horton. And then we also stream games on Cardinals.com and on the MLB.com at bat. So every game is covered from a play-by-play standpoint. So we had the game yesterday. And then Chris Raby does all the evening programming. So I join him and do some shows as well up until dinner time. Then after about 12, 13 hours here, I leave the ballpark and go grab some dinner at some of the fine restaurants here in Jupiter.
It's an exhausting day. I want to talk about your broadcasting career because we've been having this sort of theme running throughout this, whether it's players, whether it's coaches, whether it's broadcasters, how different millennials are now and to coach and their dreams and how hard they work. Go back to your sophomore year in high school and your broadcasting, your first experience of sort of calling into KMOX, getting scores and sharing it with a crowd.
Yeah, I was a public address announcer at MICDS doing games. So I stopped playing football and decided that I wanted to do what the PA announcer did, which was call games. So I was doing the JV games first, and the kids, you know, my buddies absolutely loved it. I mean, I'm calling my friends after a 50-yard carry or whatever, you know. And then after that, as it turns out, the public address announcer left university, so I took over as the PA announcer as a student. So I was calling the KMOX sports line, which was 314-321-1111, and you could hear on Saturday afternoons, it was one of our sportscasters would record college football scores a few times a day.
Sure.
And so I would write those down, and then at halftime of our game, I would read the scores. I'd do a college football scoreboard for the crowd. And so I'd say, you know, USC at Notre Dame, Irish lead it 20-17 in the third quarter, and the crowd would go, ooh. Yeah. You know?
So that was your first reaction,
yeah.
Even better than radio because you had a live audience.
I'm like, this is awesome. Yeah. So then, you know, so my job of doing the public address was I really enjoyed that. And that, you know, I got a charge out of seven. They hired me to work behind the scenes for $7 an hour, you know, doing all the stuff that you do. And I became a reporter a year after that, and then a host, and I've been sports director of the station since 07.
Well, it's very important to talk about that because I think kids today, you know, and I blame ESPN and SportsCenter for this more than anything.
Definitely.
You know, TV stations are just stacked with audition tapes of guys wanting to get into sports so they can get on SportsCenter. And the art of actually calling a game or the nuances of the game, I want you to explain to the audience, explain to us here, the first moment you met Jack Buck. Now, you're a kid coming in for $7 an hour, and you run into this guy who's a legend in all of our lives. What was that moment like?
This is like an education, first of all, grad school for me. Looking back and thinking that I got to work with him for 4 or 5 years was like an extra school. And so to have a professor like that was amazing to teach about life and about broadcasting and what it means to put in the work. But, yeah, I remember that. The first day I walked into the office that he was there, he was in the sports office by himself. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's Jack Buck. And I walk in there. And he stands up and he extends his hand to shake my hand. And I shook his hand and he looked at me and I thought, wow, this is him. I mean, the person that I've idolized my entire life. And I said, Mr. Buck, I'm Tom Ackerman. I've read your book twice. And it's a pleasure to meet you. And I work in news and sports. And if there's anything I can do, I'll help you. And I just charge pepperoni.
Mm-hmm.
And the pizza delivery guy comes. I get it, bring it upstairs. And we're sitting there eating pizza. He leaves the room for a minute. And I call my mom. And she's like, hey, how's it going? What's going on? And I said, it's great. It's been a great, great day. I'm sitting here having a pizza with Jack Buck. She's like, what? I said, I'm sorry. He's coming back. I got to go. And it was just like, yeah, that was his icebreaker. You know, Jack Buck was an amazing person. Anybody that's ever been in contact with him, and even if you haven't, you feel like you were connected to him because he was a great people person. He loved people. He could, at an airport, talk to somebody about their life just as he talked to a CEO or the owner of a team. It didn't matter. He was interested in people and their lives, and he took an interest in me, which was an amazing thing, and I am grateful every day because I don't know that I'm doing what I'm doing today without that education.
Did you read Joe Buck's book and
all
the talk about his dad? You had to really identify with a lot of it.
I actually, Joe has been a good friend, and I called him after I read the book, and I said, I'm kind of choked up for a couple reasons. One is I learned a lot of things about your dad that I didn't know and about your relationship with him, but also that Joe, the book was written so well that anybody who's been in broadcasting, all of us and anybody that's done it, that you have those thoughts about, I don't know, am I doing a good job or, you know, everyone goes through the ups and downs. I just thought I connected so well with it. That, and he said he's gotten a similar reaction from a lot of people, that this is a different business.
It's just really hard to explain.
It's just, you know, there's a different sort of life involved in this. And so Joe did a really good job of being open and capturing those feelings.
All right, we sat down with Mike Shannon. You'll hear that interview in just a little bit. But we also sat down with John Rooney. John's so humble about this. Explain to people outside the broadcast industry, if you can, how difficult a job it is for a guy like John to weave everything together in a baseball game.
It's amazing.
It's not the sexiest job, right? You know, it's not the guy who gets on TV and screams and yells and has opinions. It's much harder than that.
John is very prepared. He does great work to prepare for each player that's going to appear in the game. He has a spreadsheet that he goes to for numbers. But John just naturally, over time, and he's developed this over time, just has a great, great ability to paint the picture of what he's seeing and to weave it all into a story and never break stride. You know, that's the thing, is that sometimes, you know, you can lose that pace. And he's just so good at telling the story. It's almost perfect, really, how he puts it all together. John is a great storyteller, but he's really good at describing the action and raising his level when it's necessary. You know, he's not always yelling, but he knows how to get energized when there's a great play. He's got great recognition of a play.
Yeah, if you're always at 10, nothing's ever exciting because it's always at 10.
You know, and Mike Shannon's recognition of baseball, when I watch him and sit behind him in the booth, is incredible. I mean, I've learned so much from him. If you could see him in the booth when he'll turn his headset off and turn to me or somebody in the booth and say, he's trying to put that into the opposite field. You watch out, that right fielder better move right here. And I mean, the next pitch, boom, into right field. You know, it's just
his baseball acumen is off the charts.
It is off the charts. I've learned so much from him, and that comes with him being around the game. It's hard to believe this is his 47th year in the booth with us.
Yeah, unbelievable. And if you grew up as a kid, you know, as we did in Central Illinois, listening to Jack Buck and Mike Shannon, and before that, Harry Carey and all the greats, and everybody that's bounced a tennis ball with a baseball glove off the garage door with a transistor radio out there, you know, has that great and we all agree that baseball and radio, the marriage of those two, I mean, I don't think you'll get anything better than that. I know the technology has changed, and you might stream it through your phone or, you know, listen to it in different platforms, but those two mediums were meant to go together.
Absolutely. In the summer, you can take that radio anywhere and enjoy the game and do other things, and that's why I enjoy baseball and the radio as well, is that I can clean out the garage or hang out at the pool or my favorite, which is sit in the backyard, crack open a beer, barbecue, throw the ball to the dog, and listen to the game in the background. There is nothing like it. It's the soundtrack of the summer.
All right,
radio is just awesome because, you know, TV's changing.
Yes.
You can stream things now, and TV has a ton of competition. Newspapers are changing. Radio, it really hasn't been touched all that much, and it is an amazing medium.
Yep, you're just listening through a different device or through a different way,
yep.
And it's always been free, and so we haven't struggled with the business model the
That's
way
right.
some other outlets have. All right, I know you got to get out of here, and we want to get you out of here. I know you got to finish your show and get a flight back. I want to ask you not about what you've seen the team so far. I want to know what the reaction is in St. Louis. We hear from our friends, and you know we're kind of a mixed marriage in Central Illinois. You've got about equal amount of Cubs fans, equal amount of Cardinals fans. Cubs fans have been feeling the last couple of years, as they should. You know, a lot of success, and I'm happy for them. What are the folks in St. Louis, hometown folks? I mean, you know, is there some anger there, some bitterness? What's the expectation level? What are you guys hearing day in and day out from the folks right there?
I think there's urgency from the fans and some frustration. The Cardinals fans are used to winning, and they're used to winning championships, and they have not been to the playoffs now in back-to-back years, and they haven't been for three straight years since the McGuire era, since, you know, late 90s, and 97, 98, 99 is the last time they had three straight years where they missed the playoffs. That's a long time ago. And the Bill DeWitt regime has done a great job of building success, but it's also given the fans that taste too often. And even though they missed the playoffs by a game in 2016 and missed it by a couple of games in 2017, still, it's not enough.
Close isn't good enough.
It's not good enough. So the Cardinals fans are a little upset. I think they wanted to see more activity in the offseason. They went out and got the Marlins' best player and one of the best players in the National League in Marcell Ozuna, but they did it like 3 months ago. I mean, it was a long time ago. It was in December. It was before Christmas. So it's been a while since they made that massive move, and I think everybody was waiting for that other one.
Do you think that was better than getting Stanton?
Yeah, I think he's better than Stanton. I do. I think he's a more complete player than Stanton. He's a better fielder than Stanton. He hits for a higher average. He can hit home runs, 37 of them, 124 RBIs, hit a boy 312. I mean, he's a really good player. I like what they did. But Cardinals fans are fueled by the Cubs' success also. You know, you're seeing around Busch Stadium a few more people wearing Cubs gear when the Cubs aren't there, just throwing it out there, and they should. I mean, look, they won. I mean, they did it, and they've won the division now for a couple of years. And, you know, the Cardinals fans don't like that very much.
I think we're genuinely thrilled that the rivalry is back, but we don't want this to be a one-sided rivalry with Cubs felt for years.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
we
it's
want
time
this to be.
That's right. Yeah. So it's time to get back. You know, I refer to it all the time. Is this good enough to go to Wrigley and compete with them and knock them off? I said it yesterday. I said I would be comfortable with Tyler Lyons right now going up against Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo. I think that's their best option in the bullpen right now to shut down somebody. And is that good enough? I don't know. But I felt really good about him yesterday watching him pitch two perfect innings. That's how I'm judging it right now. Is this lineup good enough to go toe-to-toe with the Cubs at Wrigley Field? That's, I think, how Cardinals fans are judging it too. The Cardinals have to get to the playoffs this year. And if they don't, I think you're going to really hear it from this awesome fan base, which is showing a lot of urgency.
Tom Ackerman, KMOX, thanks for taking the time, buddy. Safe travels.
Thanks a lot for having me. Really appreciate it.
Take a quick break. Back with more from spring training. Here's Lindsay Romano with your WSO.